Welcome back to the Deadology Podcast from Pencil Hill Studio in New Paltz, New York. I'm your host, Howard Weiner. This is Season 2, Episode 30 of the podcast, and we're going to take a look at the Grateful Dead's performance on September 3rd, 1972 in Folsom Field, Boulder, Colorado. And I consider this to be the underrated gem of 1972. And hey, it's good to be back, man. I took a little two-week break, and thank you to you guys who checked in to see what was going on. But I'm back on a regular schedule every week, the Deadology podcast rolling forward. Next week, we got an Englishtown spectacular coming up. We'll probably get a couple people from the Englishtown show on the podcast and discuss the great music and the impact of that show. And the following week, Doug Schmell will be back. It's the 50th anniversary of the Alexandria Palace shows, and I think we both agree that the best of that run is September 10th, so we're going to take a look at that show. And hey, let's get to Folsom Field, man. What a great show. And one of the reasons I would consider it underrated, for the first thing, in 1972, you have so many spectacular shows that it's easy to fall into that underrated category. Exactly a week before the Boulder show is the epic Vanita Ken Kesey's Farm show, which is revered as one of the greatest, if not the greatest show of all time, and rightfully so. So right off the bat, this Boulder show is kind of in the shadows of that one. And then you take all the great Europe 72 shows. You got Roosevelt Stadium, July 18th from that year. And then the shows after are no joke either. They're pretty incredible. You got that amazing September East Coast run. You got the huge Philly Spectrum show. The Stanley Theater shows. Obviously, those are great three nights there. The Waterbury shows at the Palace Theater in Connecticut. And you could go on and on. There's just so many great shows in 72 that there are unbelievable shows that could get lost. And so if you look at Dead Bass, and you look at favorite tapes from 1972, number one, and rightfully so, is the Vanita show. Of the 42 shows listed there in the favorite tapes section, not one was this Boulder show from September 3rd. At that point, when that Dead Bass came out, last released, which I believe was 96 or somewhere right around there, I guess a lot of Boulder tapes weren't in circulation, and those that were weren't the best of qualities. And that's one of the things holding back this show as well, is the quality issue. So for up until recently, it was kind of like audience. There was nice soundboard chunks, but there was a lot of audience mixture in there. People did unbelievable jobs putting this show together and making it as good as possible. The He's Gone, other one, Wharf Rat, was released as a filler on Dick's Picks 36. But it seems like it's almost an impossible show for an official release to be put out there just because there's too many things wrong with it. Besides the audience songs that you have to put in, there's a cut in Truckin'. The one more Saturday Night Encore is desecrated, so it's not ideal for an official release. So I guess that's part of the reason this show has never maybe got to do it should. An incredible show. They played three sets on this night, a week after doing three sets in the Vanita, so they were well rested on top of the world as they come into the show in Folsom Field. Set one is over an hour of music. Set two is close to 2 hours of music. And the third set is also over an hour of music. So you're getting a four-hour show here. And if you were at the concert, you were there for well over 5 hours. So it was epic, enormous, whatever adjective you want to put in there. But it's got to be a huge adjective because not only the length of the show, just so many amazing performances on this night. This was their first time playing Folsom Field. They would also play there on their 15th anniversary in 1980. They played June 7th and June 8th. So obviously they took a liking to this place. And Folsom Field, in there was it's this year's the 100th year anniversary. It was the stadium was opened in 1924, and for a football stadium, it's one of the most gorgeous, you know, scenic stadiums with the Rocky Mountains in the background. Home of the Colorado Buffaloes on the University of Colorado campus. They didn't have many concerts. They had, over history, probably about 42, I think that was the research I did, I came up with, 42 different concerts. And the Grateful Dead have the biggest legacy there. 3 Grateful Dead concerts and 10 Dead & Company concerts. You know, the Dead & Company, over recent years, played there a bunch of times, and those were really the only shows there in the last 10 years or 15 years or so with the Dead & Company shows. So the Grateful Dead are a major part of the legacy of Folsom Field beyond athletics. And hey, let's jump right into the show because there's a lot to get to. We got some very cool highlights coming up. First set, we could go through some of this stuff pretty quickly because it's pretty typical, which means it's damn good. You got a Promised Land opener, Sugar Ree. And one thing I do want to point out about the performances in this first set and continually all night, Garcia's singing is very emphatic. He's like really digging in, really enjoying himself. You can obviously hear that in the tape. Definitely a little more nuance been thrown into his singing. You know, he's really having a lot of fun. We got a Me and My Uncle, Tennessee Jed, Black-Throated Wind. And once again, as I was listening to this, I listened to one source, which was audience for this, and the soundboard kicked in on playing the band. Then I happened to find another one, which was pretty recently updated, like last year, where it's almost all soundboard. You just have to deal with a couple songs of audience. So yeah, keep looking until you find the right one, but you could almost get a full soundboard of this. Black-Throated Wind. And then comes like one of the more desirable parts of this first set. You got 3 songs here: Birdsong, Beat It Down the Line, Mississippi Half Step. Now, Birdsong and Mississippi Half Step, obviously, Half Step wasn't played in Europe 72 because they hadn't come out with it yet. And Birdsong, they didn't play in 72, so very cool to have those part as the first set. And maybe the hottest jam up to this point, you know, like if you're looking at something above average, like a standout version, this Beat It Down the Line has an insane ripping jam from Garcia there. So surprisingly, that might be the hottest song out of the whole batch. And so we're 8 songs in, and then the set closes out. And this is all good soundboard stuff from this point forward. Playing in the Band, Casey Jones. Now, this Playing in the Band comes a week after Vanita. Vanita, I think you almost can't argue it. You might find one or two versions that you could put in that category, but that's the greatest Playing in the Band. It's one of the 7 wonders of the world, man. It's like that Eyes of the World from Roosevelt Stadium, just undeniably. First time I heard it, I remember I was in my parents' bedroom, cup of coffee. I got this, the Vanita tape, and I just heard that play, and I'm like, what the hell is this? It was so perfect and just brilliant playing. So trying to compare anything to it, but they, you know, this playing is pretty great. It's a few minutes shorter, but they definitely go off on it. Not quite Vanita style, but a typical great 72 playing in the Band. So let's check out a little bit of that. Thank you. 1972, playing in the bands always deliver the intensity, man. Pretty awesome version. Like I said, just a couple of minutes shorter, Vanita, but really good stuff. The first major jam of this show. The Birdsong and Half Step were nice earlier, but they weren't, you know, too jammed out as, you know, there's definitely some better 72 versions, but this is where the show really starts taking off. And instead of ending the set, they're going to do three sets on this night, but instead of ending with playing, they throw on the Casey Jones encore. And then after that's over, you know, Bob says, we're going to take a break, and says, Jerry's like, yep, we're taking a break, but don't you go anywhere. You're going to be hostage 5 hours of Grateful Dead here. So Jerry making sure nobody sneaks out after the first set, and I'm sure nobody was going anywhere. Set two opens with Bertha. And once again, there's issues. I think it was on stage as well. But on the soundboard, you can't hear the vocals for a couple rounds. It's a good Bertha, but I look at it as like a karaoke Bertha. When I was listening to the show three or four times, I just did the singing in Jerry's place. So a little karaoke Bertha to start off the second set. Then we got El Paso, Brown Eyed Women, Mexicali Blues, for, you know, standalone songs, and then the heavy hitters come in. And I'm going through some of this stuff a little quick because the songs and the combinations that work here are worth really digging into. And I got some great audio highlights from them. So after Mexicali Blues, we got a China Cat Rider. And once again, that definitely elevates the show. Hot Cat. And the Rider, even though it's not extra long, just when they sing Cool Colorado Rain and to hear the energy and the emotion in Jerry's voice. And it's a great guitar solo, the last one. So really a very worthwhile Cat Rider. And as most of you know, 73, 74 is when they really picked up and extended with the Feeling Groovy jam. But you could tell they're heading in that direction here. Some really good looks at the end of the China Cat too, man. So good stuff. So after Cat Rider, another major song, Truckin'. And, you know, they're going along pretty good. Once again, the tape gets, there's a slash in Truckin' as they're singing. So we're missing a little bit of that. But the jam, wow, it's smoking. It's such a hot Truckin' jam. And they come back to repeat the chorus a second time. And it sounds like, you know, they're just on fire. They're going to take it into the other one or something. But then there was a broken string issue the second time that happened at the show. Bob Weir blamed it on the altitude, jokingly. And so they fixed the string and Truckin' got, abruptly ended. So instead of like going into the other one, this actually worked out for the benefit. That there was actually this interruption, because you will get the other one, but it's just coming in a different package now. After Truckin', they do Loser, He's Gone, Other One, Wharf Rat. Starting off with the Loser, some great guitar work from Jerry on that. I love the sound of his guitar at this particular show. It's different than Vanita. I think Vanita, you get that just straightforward there. On fire, no messing around kind of stuff. On this night, they're very relaxed, like we're on top of the world and we're going to be a little funkier than usual. And you hear that in the Loser jam, I think is a very cool version. Then you got He's Gone, and this might be my favorite 72 He's Gone. Just the guitar solo by Jerry in the middle is so biting. It's, you know, He's Gone kind of went on to have a more mournful, especially after Pigpen's passing in 73, became a more kind of, mournful type of song, almost like a dirge, spiritual, this and that. The original intent of the song was, you know, a manager's betrayal. So I think a lot of these 72 versions are pretty cool because they kind of capture it. It's almost like a little bit of an angrier feel to the He's Gone. And this version is awesome. Just a great He's Gone. As they roll out of He's Gone, you could tell it's going into the other one, and then just this amazing whirlwind picks up here as they go into the other one. And there's about nine solid minutes of just ripping other one jamming. 1972, so hard to, you know, figure out what the best other ones are. For me, I think I like Bickershore the best, the 5-7, May 7th at that festival. There must be something about outdoor festivals and the other one, because this one's spectacular too. It's about 30 minutes long. You got the one from Baltimore on September 17th, 72. That one's tremendous. I think it's even longer. That one's like 39 minutes, if I recall correctly. But this one is about as 30 minutes as intense another one as you could get. This is definitely one of the best ones from a year with so many. And so you got it. So it starts off like really hot. The other one's going places. And then they take it to like this new jam, which definitely sounds like Help, Slipknot. I mean, we're talking about, this is about 3 years before they go into the studio to record Blues for Allah. But you could clearly hear the riffs of Help on the Way and Slipknot before Billy redirects the jam. So it's definitely, it's a cool thing. So let's check out that in the other one where they make that little switch and they go into some new territory here. A little kind of Help on the Way, Slipknot jam. I think you could clearly hear the Help on the Way, Slipknot jam there. And I find it amazing, the creative process of the Grateful Dead, what they were doing in these play-ins and Dark Stars from 1972. You could hear traces of Let It Grow in some of these versions. And yeah, I kind of wonder when they went into the studio in 75 for Blues for Allah, if they thought back to some of the shows where they did these jams, or it just kind of evolved unconsciously. But obviously they did Help on the Way, Slipknot. You know, they came up with that music in the studio. I wonder if they thought back, or is just something that kind of naturally popped up in the studio because they had done it before. Whether it was disgust or just, you know, unconscious channeling of the music there. But the Grateful Dead creative process, and there was a lot of process going on in those Dark Stars, Other Ones, and Play-Ins from 1972. So besides the amazing music that by itself was, it created songs, you know, things for the future that they would get to on some of their upcoming albums. And the other, so as you can hear, it went to a little drum, very brief drum from Billy. I wouldn't even call it a drum solo. Phil jumps in and they guide them right back to the other one. Jamming picks up again. Weir sings the first verse. And then it's back to the psychedelic spaceship, man, because this just a great jam for another 14, 15 minutes after the first verse. Typical 72 in intensity, one of the best Other Ones, and at the end, it's just total kind of madness, almost like hurtling through space, and then you got to re-enter the Earth's atmosphere. That's the only thing I can think of to describe how this last jam concludes, and they get back to the other one, but it's great music, so let's take a listen to them returning to the second verse of the other one on this long 30-minute version from Boulder, Colorado. Cowboy Neil at the wheel, man. When you hear the other one and they're playing it in 1972. That's like recent history, less than a decade earlier. You know, it just seems when you hear that song by bands these days, it seems like some kind of ancient history from another time and place. But that was still pretty recent history in 1972. Spectacular, other one. You know, so then we this He's Gone, Other One, Wharf Rat, awesome choice for that Dick's Picks 36. An incredible combination, even though I think it's going to be trumped by something that comes up at the end of the third set of this show. So they go into Wharf Rat. Jerry, once again, he's got that little extra kick to his singing on this night. Just a wild night in Boulder. For one thing, it's almost as hot as Vinita. Nothing's as hot as far. I'm talking temperature here, literal hot. It was another hot night, a hot summer in 72. But rain was, it was either raining at the time or it was about to rain or rain between sets. But they opened up set three with Cold Rain and Snow. And they talk about drying off the piano. At this show, there's, I forget exactly who, I read this somewhere, they were giving away baggies of marijuana. So, yeah, just a circus-like, incredible atmosphere in Boulder, Colorado, September 3rd. So you get a beautiful Wharf Rat here. And surprisingly, it ends, it comes to an end. It doesn't end the set, but it comes to an end. And the band, I'm pretty sure that they had an idea they were doing a third set. But after the Wharf Rat, they're like, let's do Johnny B. Goode and come back for set three. And man, they kick into a rockin' Johnny B. Goode. Awesome version here. And if you're at the audience at this point, you've been there, you've been out there for like 3-4 hours. It's going to be pouring rain, or it is pouring rain. And you figure the show's probably over. Johnny B. Goode is, you know, you don't expect to see more after you see Johnny B. Goode. And, you know, it's the encore slot, obviously. But on this night, the Weir steps up to the mic and says, we're going to come back for another set. So once again, they're hostage, happily hostage for a couple more hours in Boulder Field. Not Boulder Field, Folsom Field. And set three, Cold Rain and Snow is the opener. And once again, probably more than any other song, you could hear Jerry really going off on the singing. Phil's chiming in too. I don't know if the Phil part helps out as much. It kind of clashed a little bit, but they're just up there having fun on top of the world, man. You know, it's just like this completely confident band with all these new songs. Robert Hunter just pumping the lyrics out. You know, it's incredible what they all the momentum they had going on in every from their live performances to the studio to. Yeah, just the new songs, incredible. No band has ever gone through any growth period like the Dead did in 72. And on this day, I think they're really just taking it in as a band, sharing it with the crowd, but really amongst each other, just enjoying what they had become and where they were headed. So we open up set three, Cold Rain and Snow. And song two, Sugar Magnolia. I mean, you go to a concert, you go to a Grateful Dead concert, Cold Rain and Sugar Magnolia, you usually don't catch those songs back to back. But how happy would you be? Just the set starts off Cold Rain, Sugar Magnolia. Two of the most upbeat, you know, just enjoyable Grateful Dead songs. And the Sugar Mag here is hot, but unfortunately, it has the high bar of the Sugar Mags from this period. 72 to 74, there's so many great Sugar Magnolias. This one won't be in that conversation, but it's still hot, and you know, cool second song for the third set here. They forge ahead, and the next three standalone songs are brilliant, man. This is a great deal. Jerry singing, Keith's playing, it just, you know, it works so well. Jack Straw is next, a really good Jack Straw. Obviously, this song is far from reaching its potential. But very cool to hear the 72 Jack Straws, and then Ramble on Rose. This one of my favorites, just Jerry singing, the guitar licks, everything on this one's perfect. It's almost up there with the Europe 72 version that ended up on the album. That, you know, that one's incredible. But yeah, this one's definitely one of the best. I like this. I like the Bickershore one. Most 72 Rambonne Roses hit the mark, but this one had a little something extra. So we got this cool little, all these great songs. This was probably, of the solo songs they were bunching together at this show, this was probably the best of the batch. And the ending, there's four songs left and an encore. This ending, man, it's one of my all-time favorite Grateful Dead segments of music. It may not be that, when you first look at it, Rockin' Pneumonia and the Boogie Woogie Flu, and Not Fade Away, Going Down the Road, Not Fade Away. I mean, we love that stuff, but I can't even tell you how much I love this. This is one of the all-time great endings to any show. So starting with Rockin' Pneumonia and the Boogie Woogie Flu. It became a hit for Johnny Rivers. I believe it was early in the winter of 73. It actually reached number 6 on the Billboard charts. So people were listening to it in 72. Probably was rising in the charts towards the end of the year. The Grateful Dead did their first version on May 23rd in the Lyceum in England. And the song was originally done by Huey Piano Lewis in 1957. So I think it's very possible. Garcia was a big rhythm and blues, so appreciated that music and went on to cover so much stuff with the Jerry Garcia Band that I think he probably was familiar with that version. And I'm not sure if it was the Johnny Rivers album. I'm not sure exactly when that came out. That kind of brought about the Grateful Dead doing a cover of that. It probably did. In fact, I'm thinking that that's probably why they started doing it in May. But at this point, it's not even a hit song in September. They only did 5 or 6 versions of Rockin' Pneumonia. Let me see. I wrote that down somewhere. The amounts. Rockin' Pneumonia. All right, let's call it 5 versions. They did a couple in Europe, 72. They did the last one in Milwaukee about a month after this. This is the best Rockin' Pneumonia you're ever going to hear, whether you're listening to Huey Lewis or Huey Piano Lewis, Johnny Rivers. This version is so much better than any other one the Dead did. Once again, they got the beat going on this. It's just so funky and soulful. And Jerry singing, you could hear the delight in his voice, and we're going to hear the delight in his voice in a little bit. He's just like, he so loves this song. It's just like, you could just hear it as he's singing it. And he just, this version, they're so comfortable with it. It must be the conquest of Vanita. Like, after that show, they were just, we could do anything and, and make it amazing. And this is such a great version. It makes you wish that they did Rockin' Pneumonia more. They kept it in the lineup. And especially as a setup for Not Fade Away, it's right in that vein. Kind of like when they did Hey Bo Diddley with Not Fade Away. Except I think Rockin' Pneumonia even works better in that context, going into the Not Fade Away, going down the road, Not Fade Away. It set the stage for one of the all-time best Not Fade Away, going down the road, Not Fade Aways. Even as we make the transition, you hear the end of Rockin' Pneumonia, which we will in a second. Jerry hits like some chords at the very end. Keith imitates it, then Weir imitates what Keith did. And it's almost like a joke. It's like, this band was so freaking great that we could do stuff like this just in the moment. You just be like kind of funny, having musical conversations amongst each other. They're that good that they could just, there's so much nuance in this show when you listen to the little stuff. And then was the perfect setup for the Not Fade Away. And I think it's about time you hear what I mean. Instead of me trying to describe it, I just love this transition and the way they go into Not Fade Away. Thank you. And now a few things about Not Fade Away, Going Down the Road, Not Fade Away. It was a combo the Grateful Dead kind of stopped playing. I think 74, they might have done one in 74, but really 71 and 72 at the end of the years were the heydays for that combination. The one from Columbus, Ohio, I've long thought that to be the best one, still might be. But the difference between that one and this one, it's interesting how both versions could be so awesome and so different at the same time. That Halloween 71 is just straightforward rock and roll attack. Everything is played to the max. Even the ending, it's just brilliant, slam it home, rock and roll. The version here, about a year later, in Folsom Field, it's linear. They're jamming. It's Not Fade Away, Going Down the Road, Not Fade Away as You Know It. But there's an intensity there, but it's loosey goosey, which is incredible. It's like they're still playing with the type of intensity you want to hear. The jams are as long and as brilliant, but they're just playing off each other, having musical conversations, but they're holding it all together with ease. Once again, it's this incredible confidence where we could kick ass and take names and laugh at you at the same time, man. It's just, this band was so unbelievable, and just hearing this Not Fade Away, Going Down the Road, Not Fade Away. So the two great periods for it were 71, late 71 when Keith first hit the band, and late 72 here. Late 71, October, November, December, there's so many great versions there. I think UCLA, Albuquerque, the Columbus one. They played one in Cincinnati on October 30th, which was hot. Harding Theater has a great one. And the reason these stand out from the ones from, let's say, Europe 72, they jammed in every spot you're supposed to jam, and the instrumentals were there. Plus, the ones that make these different, that make these the desired Not Fade Away, Going Down the Road, Not Fade Away, is the extra attention they play to the Segway jam as they're, you know, going from Not Fade Away to Going Down the Road, and also from Going Down the Road back into Not Fade Away. Like in Europe 72, they played the devil out of this combination, but when they finished Going Down the Road, it was pretty much straightforward, hop right back into Not Fade Away and right into the singing. But these really elite versions, like this one, there's one from Dallas, November 24th, 72, which is on the same level as this one. Those would be my three favorite, the Columbus, this one, and Dallas 72. You're getting the best of every world. You're getting all the jams are hot, and you're getting all this extra segue. You know, the segues themselves become extra jams. So the one here in Folsom Field, the confidence is crazy. It's like they're fast, they're slow, funky, soulful, rock and roll, weaving in and out of all kinds of genres of music. Even as you could hear when they went into that Not Fade Away, it wasn't as thunderous. It's like they held back a little bit on that and went for a little more country, a little more funk. And it's just changing like almost measure to measure every 10 seconds. But they're still completely holding it together. This one blows me away. The other thing is the symmetry of it. No other Not Fade Away, Going Down the Road, Not Fade Away is like this. The first part is 7+ minutes, about 7:20. The Going Down the Road is about 7:58. And the Not Fade Away reprise is the longest reprise. It's like 7:30. So everything here is over 7 minutes, but not 8 minutes. It's like so symmetrical. It's crazy. And the Going Down the Road Feeling Bad is smoking hot. Sometimes in these combinations, like the Columbus one, If I had one critique of that one, I think that one's my favorite. The Going Down the Road's not as hot as this one or the one from Dallas. This one is just so perfect, just such a confident band, burning with intensity, yet having the ease to have these musical conversations as they're doing a Not Fade Away, Going Down the Road, Not Fade Away. And I think you'll see what I'm saying. You'll not see, you will hear what I'm saying when I'm going to play this Not Fade Away reprise for you, all 7:30 of it. It's just incredible what they do with this, so enjoy. imagine that scene. You're in Folsom Field, Boulder, Colorado. Grateful Dead have already played 3.5 hours. It's raining. It's hot. But they just keep going and going. They could have done a quick Not Fade Away, going down the road, Not Fade Away, and everybody would have been thrilled. But just the extra time they took on that after such a long night, just incredible. They gave us an eternal thrill, those of us who listened to the tapes, and they probably got 60, 50, 60,000 new converts on that night with that show, man. Boulder, Colorado, September 3rd, 1972, a masterpiece of a show, probably the most underrated show of that year. And they close it out with one more Saturday Night Encore, which is kind of butchered. A good recording of that doesn't exist. But hey, there's more than enough great music to make up from that, from this Boulder show. So yeah, definitely, if you get a chance, take in the whole show. I've had the pleasure of hearing it 3 or 4 times within the past week. And yep, that's it for the Boulder show. Welcome back to the Deadology Podcast. I took a two-week summer break, but we're going to be back every week. Next week, Englishtown, and I'll have some guests on who were at the show. And then Doug Schmell, Alexandria Palace, 74 on the 50th anniversary. And my website, tangleupandtunes.com. And thanks for listening. Peace out.